global controls will have to be imposed, and a world governing body will be created to enforce them. Crises precipitate change.
Secretly plotting your demise.
I want to devise a virus to bring dire straits to your environment. Crush your corporations with a mild touch. Trash your whole computer system and revert you to papyrus. I want to make a super virus strong enough to cause blackouts in every single metropolis. Cause they don't want to unify us. So get total anarchy and can nobody stop us. You see, late in the evening, step on my computer and my mind starts roaming. I create like a heathen. The first cycles of this virus I can send through a modem. Infiltration hits your station. No Microsoft or enhanced DOS will impede. Society thinks they're safe when bingo hard drive crashes from the rending. A lot of hackers tried viruses before. Vaporize your text like so much whiteout. I want it where file replication is a chore. Lights out, shut down entire White House. I don't want just a bug that can be corrected. I'm erecting a mechanism design. Break the nation down
section by section, even to the greatest minds. I survive, and I welcome to you tonight. It is Thursday, November 30th. Welcome to another edition of False Flag News, where the world collapses and I smile. We got to smile in the face of all this tragedy and just let's all pretend like it's not happening. Let's play make-believe tonight. That'll be tonight's game. We'll all go into denial. The economy is fine. The war is going fine. Everything's going to be okay. And I think Desperate Housewives is on tonight. So stop listening to my show. Turn off your radio. Go turn on ABC. There's important things going on. There's a football game going on. Prioritize here, really. All right. That's my sarcastic opening for the evening. Folks, I focused on the economy last night, and I'm going to focus on the economy tonight, as well as developments in the Russian oil and gas sector, and of course the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. Now, you may say, I sound like a broken record. He just keeps talking about that the dollar's collapsing and Shanghai cooperation and World War IV and Russia and China. Folks, this is where we need to move. This is where our brains need a laser light focus in on. Because the movement is under attack right now. We got plenty of people running around saying it was no planes and space beams and trying to disrupt and use their sectarian style of argumentation to try to destroy the real legitimate 9/11 questions. There's plenty of provocateurs running around the message boards trying to get your eye off the ball. And I've talked about them at length on this program. But what I promised to you was that I would focus on the real hard facts. Because what they want is to, for you to spend your time arguing with people who are putting up straw man theories. So I'm going to focus on the dollar tonight and then move into Russia and China. Look, I got an article here. Dollar slides as U.S. businesses slow. This is from the Financial Times. The dollar suffered sharp falls on Thursday, hit by reports of weak U.S. business activity and benign inflation pressure. The euro rose 0.7% against the dollar to 1.3247 by late afternoon in New York after data from Chicago purchasing managers indicated that business activity in the Midwest unexpectedly fell last month. A report revealed that inflation in the personal consumption expenditure, excluding food and energy, the Federal Reserve's preferred inflation benchmark, held steady in October at 2.4% on year end. Now, of course, folks, we need to understand that a lot of these numbers are manipulated. It's called juking the stats. It's the same thing that the police do at the end of the month when they need to pull people over for parking tickets and speeding tickets. Got another article here. The pound has hit a 14-year high against the dollar amid speculation that the Bank of England will raise interest rates in the new year. In early Thursday trading in Europe, the pound hit 1.956, its highest level against the dollar since 1992. And how is the military-industrial complex and the Wall Street faction going to get out of this? How are they possibly going to justify the collapse? Well, I have an article here. U.S. warns financial firms of Al-Qaeda threat. Al-Qaeda's coming to get the dollar. Al-Qaeda's going to bring the system down crashing. It's not the parasites. It's not the derivatives. It's not the hedge funds. It's Al-Qaeda. It's the Arabs. I'm going to read this article and so much more. Special edition, False Flag News. Stay with us. It's RBNLive.com. demolition had a bolt full of steel up at ground zero. Well, first LC David got us by bringing down those towers, those evil terrorists. They done went and they hated our freedom so much that they attacked us on September 11th. And now they hate our freedom so much that they want to bring the financial markets down. That's not a housing bubble collapsing or a derivatives market or a hedge fund collapse or the mismanagement of the fiat currency by the Federal Reserve and their private owners. It's not a construction by the SEC and the Treasury which have mismanaged this economy, or the free trade agreements like NAFTA, CAFTA, and the Free Trade of the Americas Agreement, our most favored nation trade status with China, which have sold out the manufacturing base in this country. No, no. It is Al-Qaeda that wants to bring down the banking system. Of course, that's sarcastic, folks, but listen to this article from Reuters. And I think it's quite timely that as things are coming down now, we're being warned of a cyber attack. And, of course, on my website, falseflagnews.com, I covered how there were many drills in New York and Chicago and London about an Al-Qaeda attack on the financial market. Let me get to the article. U.S. warns financial firms of Al-Qaeda threat. Officials tell private financial services of threats so far uncorroborated to stock and trading banking websites. Of course, it's an uncorroborated threat, a.k.a. propaganda. But anyway, the U.S. government has warned U.S. private financial services of an Al-Qaeda call for a cyber attack against U.S. online stock trading and banking websites on Friday. So you day traders out there, you're going to try to log into your Ameritrade account, and it'll probably be a message from Osama bin Laden and Ayman al-Zawahiri. And it'll probably have Azam Gadan on there, too, and they'll be telling you, I don't know, probably to buy General Motors or something. The officials, a person familiar with the warning and a spokesman for the Department of Homeland Security, said the Islamic militant group aimed to penetrate and destroy the U.S. databases of the stock market and banking websites. Here's the best part. Homeland Security said it had no evidence to corroborate the threat, but it issued a warning out of, quote, an abundance of caution. The department said in a statement that the threat was for all of December. Quote, there is no information to corroborate this aspirational threat. As a routine matter and out of abundance of caution, U.S. CERT has issued a situational awareness report to industry stakeholders. Well, so Al-Qaeda is going to get the market. Why would they be announcing this? What has them so desperate? Well, I talked about the housing collapse for the last few nights, and my previous guest, Mike Whitney, did as well. Now, what they've been trying to say is that the housing collapse is limited to certain sectors. But let me read you this article from Yahoo News and Reuters. And I again want to thank Chris in Montreal for passing along so many of the articles. Chris, wonderful research. Thank you to Chris in Montreal. The article here is H&R Block lost nearly doubles on mortgage weaknesses. H&R Block, the largest U.S. tax preparer on Thursday, said its quarterly loss nearly doubled and was larger than analysts expected as the struggles of its mortgage lending arm worsened. For the fiscal second quarter ending October 31st, H&R Block's net loss rose to $156.5 million. Analysts polled by Reuters on average forecast a loss of 32 cents per share on revenue of $582.2 million. Chief Executive Mark Ernst said the ongoing weakness in the mortgage industry hurt overall results. So the mortgage industry is struggling. H&R Block is focused on lawsuits. The housing market is slowing down. Now let me get to this. What's happening in the consumer markets? Because a lot of you people think that this is just doom and gloom, you know? And I get some sick pleasure out of getting on the radio and telling you that things are not very good. That the economy is hanging by a thread. Because I think we tend to think that there are these global financial masters out there who just have total control and the system could never slip out from under them. But we must remember the International Monetary Fund warned in April of a disorderly adjustment, a drop in the dollar which would cause a worldwide economic collapse that couldn't be controlled. And we may be in the midst of it right now. Walmart's warning unsettles retailers. This is from AP Business Wire. Walmart's, well, Walmart stores unsettled the retail industry Thursday, reporting a sales decline for the first time in 10 years and warning that its holiday sales would be disappointing. The discounters' news, coupled with a jump in unemployment benefit claims, raised concerns about the strength of the retailing sector at a critical time of the year. So apparently nobody's going up to scoop up the Nintendo Wiis and iPods and PlayStations and stupid crap that people buy. Walmart's confirmation of weak November sales and its announcement that December same-store sales game would be no better than 1% came as the nation's retailers reported an overall mixed performance for the month. Same-store sales reflect business at stores open at least a year and are the industry standard for measuring a company's strength. So you have major problems in the retail industry right now. Walmart, which does the biggest business with China, I believe it's $18 billion of business with China, so that you can go and buy nightgowns and socks and, you know, toys for your children, all made at 10 cents on the dollar, is reporting very big problems in the consumer market. This is as unemployment claims rise. This is as the housing market collapses, as the mortgage market is in big trouble. I have an article here from Yahoo News and the Financial Times. It says, renewed assault on the dollar. The dollar came under renewed assault on Thursday, tumbling on concerns about a slowing U.S. economy. The pound took the spotlight among foreign exchange gainers, surging to a 14-year high against the greenback. But it was hardly alone. The dollar also slumped heavily against the yen and euro. Well, of course, folks, these are the currencies that the Chinese Central Bank, European Central Bank, Russian Central Bank are all buying up. The U.S. currency came under pressure in early trading, giving up its rally on Wednesday after revised data showed the U.S. economy grew more sharply than originally thought in the third quarter. It fell further on indications of the contraction in the manufacturing activity in the Chicago region. There you go again. Manufacturing decline in the Chicago region. Do you see? It all begins to add up. Here's another article from the Financial Times. U.S. inflation remains stubbornly high. U.S. inflation remains stubbornly high, figures released on Thursday showed, underscoring the Federal Reserve's reluctance to lower interest rates to stimulate sluggish growth. The central bank's favorite inflation measure revealed that prices continue to rise at a rate of 0.2% in October, despite Wall Street's forecast that the core personal consumption expenditure index would only rise by 0.1%, a.k.a. inflation is still on the rise, folks. These are all signs of a market, of a dollar, of an economy in decline. This is not a death agony. This is a death free fall at this point. Another article here from Financial Times. And I don't mean to overload you here. I know it's one after another after another. And I'm just throwing out numbers here. It all becomes a blur. But I encourage all of you to research this for yourself, because this is not what they're going to tell you on NBC Nightly News. You know, they'll tell you about a train crash in Ohio. They'll tell you Britney Spears and Paris Hilton are hanging out together. They'll tell you it's sweeps month. They'll tell you about that election in Florida. They'll talk about Barack Obama. They won't tell you that your dollar is in demise. That's my job, I guess. I get to be the bearer of bad news. I get to be the financial grim reaper here. Slowing business activity hurts greenback. This is from the Financial Times. The dollar endured more sharp falls undermined by slowing U.S. business activity. Attention will now switch to Friday's Institute of Supply Management Index to see if purchasing activity has contracted on a national level. They again talk about the growth of inflation in this country. So what's happening? I mean, what is happening not just in the financial markets, but globally right now? Where do we find ourselves? Because I've been talking a lot about how this financial collapse is also happening with a collapse in Iraq. When the U.S. media is finally beginning to admit that Iraq is a civil war. My stars, reality has sunk in for NBC, owned by General Electric, the great weapons maker, and for the New York Times, one of the great Mockingbird outlets controlled by various intelligence agencies. Now, I'm not saying every reporter is, but there are relationships there. And it says, Bush rejects the idea of pullback. Maliki says Iraqis can take over by June. This is from the International Herald Tribune. President George W. Bush said on Thursday that American troops would stay in Iraq unless the government asked them to leave, using a joint news conference with the Iraqi Prime Minister al-Maliki to push back against a reported decision by an independent bipartisan panel to call for gradual withdrawal. And folks, I mean, Baker Hamilton is the most tepid, ruling class, carrot on the stick, phase troop withdrawal in a matter of, you know, years. They're not talking about really getting these troops out while they still have a chance, or ending the Civil War, or reconstructing the hospitals and the roads and the electricity and the water that have all been destroyed, or stopping with the depleted uranium tank shells being sprayed across the country, or tearing up the privatized oil contracts, or getting out the Blackwater and the DynCorp and the Custer Battle mercenaries. They're saying, well, we're going to increase the troop size, and then there's going to be some amorphous troop withdrawal at some later date. But of course, within the Pentagon, there is a neocon faction which is quite diehard, and which is not only rejecting the calls by Baker Hamilton, but is actually pushing into Iran, as reported by Seymour Hersh. So this article by the Herald Tribune, it says, but Maliki asserted that Iraqi forces would be, quote, fully ready to assume control by June. Bush, proclaiming Maliki the right guy for Iraq, said the two had agreed to speed the turnover of security responsibilities to Iraqi forces. Well, I surely doubt, and I think anyone with half of a functioning brain cell at this point would see that by June, there is no hope of containing this violence, certainly not without an international peace conference that involves Iran, Syria, the end of the occupation in Gaza and the West Bank, and the construction of a viable Palestinian state, as well as the freeing of the tens of thousands of Palestinian prisoners, many of them women and children, that have been captured in Israeli roundups. It means the destruction of Abu Ghraib prison and these gulags that have been set up in the Palestinian territories, in Iraq, in Poland, in Romania, where poor souls, where dirt farmers from Afghanistan, where people caught in checkpoints in Fallujah are being tortured. 90% of them admitted to be innocent by Newsweek magazine. I'm going to come back. I have a ton of news, not just about Iraq, but about Russia, China, natural gas, oil, and the future of this American republic. It's False Flag News Thursday. Stay with me, folks.
Diet Coke, aspartame, turns to formaldehyde. FDA approved with Monsanto with a power line. Zero pharmaceuticals and rum spell power time. Pushing brain cancer like you standing under power line. Shivers with tan like a cat of nine. Shatter rhymes, CNN and Fox News. Out of sight, out of mind. Wonder if we out of time. NSA ran drill, CIA taught. Hijackers, how to fly. NRO satellites, biometric ID. NSA, CIA, SAIC. John M. Poindexter work. Working as a spy sheet, snooping on your downloads, spooking off the IP. Tight room working at an L3 Lockheed.
Yeah, but don't focus on the September 11th facts. Just follow the mockingbirds who are pushing their space beam theories. Folks, I mean, it's so funny. They're getting so desperate right now that they're saying that not only did a plane not crash in Shanksville, but actually that the crater there was from a space beam. I'm not joking. This is how desperate they have gotten to destroy 9/11 questions. This is how desperate their tactics have gotten. First it was no planes, then it was the micro nuke, then it's a space beam. Now it's a space beam in Shanksville. I mean, it's so funny, it's so laughable, it's so pathetic. Let me tell you, y'all need to get some better ideas. I mean, people see right through this stuff, but it speaks of a real desperation. And that's why I, on this program, try to stay to the facts. I stray away from the people who are trying to destroy the movement, who stick around only to monitor what we're doing, and who put themselves in positions to monitor the 9/11 truth movement, sitting in the catbird seat, watching everyone, and then, of course, becoming agents of, well, never mind. I don't even want to get into it. Look, folks, the number to call is 800-313-9443. Again, that is 800-313-9443. I'll be taking a couple of your calls. My energy level is a little bit lower tonight. I've had a really busy day, but I still come out for you every night. Come out swinging with all the facts because I love you, the listening audience, just so much. Really, you are like my children, even though I'm only 23 years old. Okay. Funny article here. I was talking about war crimes at Abu Ghraib prison, and I've said numerous times, you know, everyone says, well, Rumsfeld is going to be gone, and this is such a great victory. Well, I say Rumsfeld is a war criminal. We had a slightly functioning society. The man who was a chief architect of the propaganda in the lead-up to the Iraq War, the mass murder of 650,000 Iraqis, allowing at least 3,000 American troops to die, because we know the numbers are higher than the 2,800 they're saying. We know at least 22,000 have been wounded, many of them critically wounded, missing limbs now. The depleted uranium, the torture in Abu Ghraib, in Guantanamo. Everything that this DOD has been a part of. And Rumsfeld is going to move right into the private industry. I said, this man is a war criminal and should not be allowed to get away scot-free. Interesting article here from Haaretz magazine. Former Israeli Defense Chief Lieutenant General Moshe Yalon left New Zealand this week after a warrant was issued for his arrest for suspected war crimes. Well, you hear that sound? That's me clapping. Kudos to the government of New Zealand. Amazing that they have the courage to do this. This is the same country that kicked out the Israeli diplomats after Mossad was trying to use phony New Zealand passports. Here we go. The New Zealand Justice Ministry issued the warrant on Tuesday, several days after a request by a New Zealand resident was co-signed by various local international human rights organizations. The warrant named Jalon for ordering the Israeli Air Force to attack on the home of senior Hamas official Salah Shehada in the Gaza Strip in 2002. So, really amazing that New Zealand has the courage to try to arrest some of these Israeli war criminals. And meanwhile, in this government, we've got the APEC spy scandal, the Office of Special Plans, Jonathan Pollard. We've got Converse and Amdocs. We've got the dancing Mossad agents on 9/11. And what happens? Nancy Pelosi and Steny Hoyer deliver keynote speeches at the last APEC meeting. We have Jane Harman, who was to be named, although she's not going to get the position now. But she was in line to become House Intelligence Chairman Committee. Or Chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, rather. Involved in this APEC scandal, and in this country, still, we have Avigdor Lieberman running around threatening the United States, saying, you will invade in 6 months or we will invade, and Bush saying he would very much understand if the Israelis invade. So just look at that contrast of the way different governments handle this. You know, you have an art student spy ring in this country with at least 150 Israelis arrested, trying to penetrate top secret institutions, military bases, nuclear power plants. Nothing happens. And in New Zealand, they try to arrest Israeli leaders on war crimes. Boy, what a diversity of policy we have in the world. Want to get to the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, but I would be forgetful if I didn't mention an area of research. You know, I've talked many times about vote fraud. A lot of people looked at the 2004 and election and saw the vote fraud in Ohio, the vote fraud in Florida, the vote fraud in Pennsylvania, and noticed that something was terribly wrong with these Diebold machines. Even some of the progressive left began to wake up to this, although many on the blogosphere still censored this. Of course, I speak of Atrios and Daily Kos and InfoShop and all those types of gatekeeper organizations. Pardon me. But what's happened now in Florida is an election in their 13th district found that 18,000 people were disenfranchised. Their votes for Congress just didn't count. And I watched a very interesting special on C-SPAN today where the head of the Federal Election Commission was openly questioning electronic voting machines and saying that there needs to be a paper trail. Here's an article by the New York Times. After 6 years of technological research, more than $4 billion spent by Washington on new machinery and a widespread overhaul of the nation's voting system, this month's midterm elections revealed that the country is still far from being able to ensure that every vote counts. Tens of thousands of voters scattered across more than 25 states encountered serious problems at the polls, including failures in sophisticated new voting machines and confusion over new identification rules. Now, of course, this is a sort of a limited hangout here, but this is progress in many ways. They're not going to talk about the Amundsen family and the Council for National Policy funding these machines. They won't talk about who funded the Help America Vote Act and who lobbied for it. People like Lockheed and Northrop Grumman, the defense lobbyists. They won't talk about Walden O'Dell, the CEO of Diebold, who promised votes to Bush, or a convicted felon designing the software, or the head of the NSA, and Robert Gates, who's going to be DOD chief, being on the Diebold board. But they will admit there's flaws in these machines. I'm going to get back and talk about this, and I will get to Russia and China. It's false flag news. Feel free to call in.
Immortal technique disintegrates mics when I spit. I cause more casualties than sunken slave ships. Full to capacity, I bring tragedy to rap without my man Gaddafi.
Listen, I was talking about the voting article here, and look, you know, this is a lot like 9/11. A lot of you, the purists and the hardcore freaks, will say, well, it must be government myhop. Unless the media comes out and says the government made it happen on purpose, it's a limited hangout, there's no victory, and those people lack pragmatism. They can't see that, you know, with politics, things move at a glacial pace. Progress does at the very least. Tyranny tends to move a lot faster. But in terms of these voting machines, you know, this is a breakthrough. When you have the head of the Federal Election Commission saying that we need a paper trail before 2008, I mean, who knows if it's going to happen, but that is progress. It is a recognition that there's a problem. A little bit more from this article, it says, in Florida alone, the discrepancies reported across Sarasota County and three others amount to more than 60,000 votes. In Colorado, as many as 20,000 people gave up trying to vote. Election officials say as the new online systems for verifying voter registrations crashed repeatedly. And in Arkansas, election officials tallied the votes three times in one county, and each time the number of ballots cast changed by more than 30,000. Of course, these are just the anomalies that were caught. I talked about the intelligence links and who created the software and the CEO of Diebold promising votes to Bush. I mean, that's the really hardcore stuff. It would be great if we could have a lot more articles on that. It probably won't happen, though. I'm realistic enough. So I'll take a limited hangout on vote fraud if it produces a paper trail. Remember, Diebold are the same wonderful people that make your ATM machine. they're able to produce a paper trail there, but seemingly with the vote, you know, the extra printer costs, it's just, man, they don't want to overwhelm themselves. I got to switch gears a little bit, and it's not exactly going to be the smoothest segue, but I am always, you know, the consummate interest in Russia and China and the development of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. So I just want to launch right into it. I've talked about the relationship not only with Iran and the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, but also Venezuela and the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. So let me just start here. I'm going to read through some articles and talk about how much this changes the development of the politics around the world. And, of course, this happens on the backdrop of a NATO meeting that's happening, you know, on the 28th of November. Okay? That had been happening. So you have the NATO meeting in Riga, Latvia, right? Been happening right now. And what they're talking about is a stronger relationship with Israel. And, of course, another thing, which I'm sure won't be officially on the talking block, but on many people's minds, is the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. So I have this article here from RIA Novosti, dated November 30th. Russia has shipped the first of two Su-30 Mk2 multi-role fighters to Venezuela under a contract signed in July 2006, an aircraft manufacturing industry official said on Thursday. Russia signed the $1 billion contract on supplies for flanker fighters and 30 helicopters to Venezuela prior to this year's visit to Russia by Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez, which regarded triggering criticism from Washington, which regards the Venezuelan regime as a potential security threat in the region. So we know that Venezuela is a honorary member of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, and they are sort of coordinating policy right now with Russia and China. And then I have another article here. Iran stresses expansion of cooperation with Central Asia. It talks about an Iranian diplomat talking about closer relationship with who? It says the diplomat further pointed out that boosting an expansion of multilateral cooperation, particularly with such bodies as the Economic Cooperation Organization and Shanghai Cooperation Organization, serve regional interests and blocks by intervention of trans-regional powers. Quote, Iran believes the security needs and a feedback and reflection of actual needs should be the agenda of regional security, and the SCO is an acceptable framework for addressing those aforesaid needs. Now, I have another article here. There's a big meeting coming up of the Shanghai Cooperation in Almaty, Kazakhstan. Of course, that's where the character Borat Sagdiev of the Borat movie come from. Of course, that's a fictional character, but what's happening here is very real. And the article title is, SCO May Become Future World Order Structure. And the foreign minister of Kazakhstan says a model of interaction and multi-level integration is formed within the SCO framework. The SCO has all the prerequisites to become a structure of a future world order. And, of course, I've said on this show many times how Russia and China got together about a year ago and said that they are pushing for a, quote, new world order and a world government under the United Nations. In fact, I should pull that article up. I will after the commercial break. After the next break, I will read you that article because I think it's amazing. But, you know, we think that we see these opposing organizations, but either way, you're going to get tyranny, you know. There's absolute tyranny in China right now. Slave labor. Farmers being kicked off their land. Curbing of internet freedom. Curbing of political freedom. Harving of organs of political prisoners. I mean, that is the model. That is the model for what they want to turn this globe into. Looking at China. Looking at places like Singapore. Have another article here. Putin appoints new Russian national coordinator at SCO. This is from Interfax, dated today. President Vladimir Putin has appointed Leonid Moiseyev as Russian national coordinator of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. The ordinance became effective the day it was signed, November 27th. So again, more leadership changes at the SCO as it continues to strengthen its relationship with Iran and Venezuela, all on the heels of a NATO meeting in Riga, Latvia, where the countries are discussing a closer relationship with Israel. Now, I have another article here. This is more historical, and I'm jumping around today, folks, but really, I apologize. I was incredibly busy, and I am just not high energy today. Article here, British security forces colluded in international terrorism. And it says, this is from Ireland Online. British security forces colluded in acts of international terrorism in the 1970s, a Dale committee said in a hard-hitting report today. The specter of collusion was present in the attacks instigated by the probe into a series of bomb and gun attacks carried out by both sides of the border by loyalist paramilitaries. At a press conference on the grounds of Dale in Dublin, the committee concluded that security force members were involved in the attacks. We now have enough information to be fully satisfied that not only was it collusion that occurred, but it was widespread. Of course, this relates to Operation Gladio. This relates to the British infiltration and provocateur actions within the IRA, the MI6 infiltration of the IRA. Of course, people don't talk about the MI6 enough in terms of the drug dealing, in terms of the creation of international terrorism. The MI6 has protected Ayman al-Zawahiri, who was supposed to be the number two al-Qaeda commander. They have protected many of the top so-called al-Qaeda assets in the same way that the CIA has protected bin Laden and met with bin Laden 2 months before September 11th at a hospital in Dubai. Of course, you won't hear the space beam people talk about that, but I digress. Okay, some more articles here, folks. I want to talk about possible confrontation between Russia and the United States, because, again, a lot of people don't want to conceive of where we're going, of how there are fissures within the international ruling order. Russian official says new U.S. space policy will lead to military confrontation. A senior Russian space official sharply criticized an assertive new U.S. space policy signed by George W. Bush, saying Wednesday that it would increase tension and could lead to military confrontation in space, the Associated Press reports. In the first revision of U.S. space policy in nearly a decade, Bush signed an order earlier this year asserting that the United States has the right to deny adversaries access to space for hostile purposes and saying that the United States will oppose treaties and other restrictions that prohibit or limit U.S. access to use of space. Quote, this document can be seen today as the first step towards a serious deepening of the military confrontation in space. And we know they're trying to create a new arms race. China is jumping into the space arms race. Putin has announced they have a new missile which can get through any anti-ballistic missile system. So it's not just the missiles and the mini-nukes and the ground-based systems and the HARP system and nanotech and cloning and genetic engineering. It's also space weapons. And in the Project for the New American Century, these guys lined out their plan. Space weapons. The next frontier is space. I mean, there are searchable PDF documents from the Air Force where they say total control over the weather and total dominion over space, that the future warfare will be fought in space. You have really the merger of the Air Force and the NRO. I've covered that on this show as well. National Reconnaissance Office with a budget bigger than the NSA, bigger than the CIA. But you probably never heard of the NRO. They do so many of the secret space launches and satellite systems, basically merging their capabilities with the Air Force. And now the Russians are warning that we are headed toward a new arms race, not just on the ground, but in space as well. Another article here. This is a big development in the Russian oil and natural gas market. Russian energy rivals signed partnership deal. Russian state-controlled energy giants Gazprom and Rosneft signed a massive partnership deal that aligns the two bitter rivals and could squeeze foreign firms out of the Russian energy market. Of course, I've talked about how Putin has been kicking out ExxonMobil, Chevron Texaco, Royal Dutch Shell, BP, revoking their licenses and really kicking them out of the major oil fields, as well as the liquefied natural gas fields at Sakhalin 1 and 2 and the Stockman field. Pardon me. The heads of the two companies signed an agreement on strategic cooperation for joint work in oil, gas, and electricity production, as well as combined bids on the energy contracts, the statement said. Gazprom, one of the largest energy companies in the world, has a monopoly over Russia's vast natural gas extraction and transport network. Rosneft is Russia's second largest oil producer. So you have the number one and number two oil producers, both controlled by powerful Kremlin officials, are now signing strategic agreements together. Do you see how this development could change the world financial structure? Because now these two companies, let's say, begin to trade in currencies other than dollars. Russia already has the largest output of oil as measured by OPEC, ahead of Saudi Arabia. And now you have Gazprom and Sibneft collaborating. This fundamentally changes the oil markets. What do you think David Rockefeller or Queen Beatrix or the controllers of these companies are thinking right now? Surely they are aware of what's going on. The strategic cooperation has to be a threat to the ruling elite that control these oil firms. And of course, I talked about the NATO meeting. Here's an article from Moscow News. NATO leaders to gather in Latvia to discuss energy relations with Russia. NATO leaders will study at a summit starting on Tuesday whether the alliance should take more actions to avert potential threats to energy supplies, Reuters reports. Talks in the Latvian capital Riga, the first NATO summit on former Soviet soil, come amid Western concerns that Russia is exploiting its vast energy wealth to gain political influence over import-dependent countries in Europe. Quote, energy security is a NATO-relevant subject, said the NATO Secretary General. I hope the heads of state and government will ask us in the North Atlantic Treaty Council to define the added value that NATO should bring to the discussion on energy security. Of course, energy security is the euphemism for control over the dwindling oil and natural gas resources that remain on this planet. And I'm not saying it's a Chicken Little peak oil scenario, but they are fighting for control of the remaining resources. And so when you hear energy security, that's kind of like when the IMF talks of disorderly adjustment. So the United States has been using certain proxy states to provoke Russia. And I have an article here, U.S. pledges support for Georgia's NATO bid. And one of those countries is Georgia under Saakashvili, with these phony people power coups both in the Ukraine and Georgia. And these are right on Russia's doorstep, and they are being used with NATO there. And as well, the United States is installing a missile defense system in Poland. And again, when you hear missile defense, that means missile offense. Because if it can fire a missile at another missile, it can also fire a missile at countries. Missile defense is an offensive weapon in the disguise of a, quote, defensive weapon. But same as it's the Department of Defense, but Don Rumsfeld doesn't defend anything. He takes over oil resources, builds permanent military bases, and tortures children, and puts aspartame into the food supply, and so on. The President of the United States reiterated Tuesday his country's support for Georgia's ascension into NATO. Speaking before a NATO summit on the Latvian capital Riga, George Bush said the Western Security Alliance will keep its doors open to new members, including Georgia and Ukraine. Of course, this is when they had those neo-Nazi thugs running through the street, and the media said, it's the Orange Revolution, it's the Purple Revolution. Of course, you know, never looking into who funds this, where these spontaneous revolutions come from. And of course, Yushchenko has basically lost all of his power. The people in Ukraine have basically rebelled against this already. And Saakashvili is slipping in Georgia. And yet now they're trying to add these countries into NATO as a direct threat. There are border confrontations with Russia right now between Georgia and Russia. Things like this are a catalyzing event as much as Iran. These are sort of the skirmishes that happen as the international order begins to collapse, as the financial order collapses, as Iran becomes really the launch point as to whether the neocons will continue to push towards what they call World War IV, or whether the incrementalists, sort of the European faction, will take over and slow things down. But they both agree on tyranny. The Russians and the Chinese and the United States, they all have a goal of total tyranny. The question is, who's going to take over, and how fast will that tyranny come? One more article here. Putin vows no breakup of Gazprom. This is from November 24th. Russia's president said Friday energy giant Gazprom and other state monopolies will not be separated into smaller companies. Putin, speaking after a meeting of the European Union Commission president on a Russian EU summit in Helsinki, said, as long as there remains a disparity in energy prices on the Russian world market, we will preserve the integrity of such companies as Gazprom. So again, this is showing that Russia is beginning to take over the oil and natural gas market. Now, I want to talk a little bit about what's going on in Iraq. I've got 2 minutes before the break. And what I predicted is that basically this conflict will continue. I see pro-war Democrats that are bought off by the AIPAC lobby. Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, all of these people have no interest in pulling out the troops or preventing World War IV. They're talking about ethics regulation and stem cell research and implementing the recommendations of the 9/11 Commission, which means a national ID card. And so this war, I believe, will continue. The genocide will continue until it gets so ugly that either the regional violence spreads into a massive Middle East civil war, or the Cheney regime and Israel begin to invade Iran. This article here is Saudi will intervene in Iraq if U.S. withdraws. It's from Reuters. It says using money, weapons, or its oil power, Saudi Arabia will intervene to protect Iranian-backed Shiite militias from massacring Iraqi Sunni Muslims once the United States begins pulling out of Iraq, a security advisor to the Saudi government said on Wednesday. Diplomats and analysts say Iraq's Sunni Arab neighbors, led by heavyweight Saudi Arabia, fear the sectarian violence could spill into a large-scale civil war between Shiites and Sunnis and could set off a political earthquake far beyond Iraq. Of course, it says, writing in the Washington Post, they said that the Saudi leadership was preparing to revise its policy in Iraq to deal with the aftermath of a possible U.S. pullout and is considering options, including flooding the oil market to crash prices and thus limiting Iran's ability to finance Shiite militias in Iraq. Well, certainly crashing the dollar price, or crashing the oil price, will then have a disastrous effect on the dwindling dollar as well, and the status of the petrodollar. We're going to get back with a bunch more news as we close up with one big final segment coming back here on the Thursday edition of False Flag News.
Global controls will have to be imposed, and a world governing body will be created to enforce them.
Hey, personally, I'm looking forward to the world government. I just cannot wait to get the microchip. I'll probably get a discount when I buy my Subway sandwiches and get my forced vaccine. It's going to be great. Oh, my God, what a future. But listen, folks, I say that jokingly, but we need to be a little bit optimistic. You know, I hate giving you all of this bad news, but there's a lot of reason for optimism. On the one hand, we have to remember that they've spent hundreds of years building this system up. And hopefully the cooler heads will prevail. If they take this thing slower, we've got a lot of chances to fight it back. The key is not to just to listen to my show. You know, it may be cathartic and I can get on the radio and rant for you, but I want you to go out and begin pamphleting, to start waking up your friends, to create a website, to do your own radio broadcasts. It's not really me. I'm not trying to be any vanguard here. I mean, I do this because I love the listeners. I do it because I hope some of this information is relevant to you. But I am hoping that you go out there and, you know, create the next leaders, and they create the next leaders. We've got a lot of people that are just so awake right now but are just addicted to sitting on their hands because they believe nothing good can be done, and a lot of good can be done right now. We have to take our victories where we get them. There's a revolution going on in South and Central America right now. The voting machines, the electronic voting part is finally breaking into the mainstream. A lot of people are waking up to 9/11 and the real questions, which is why they have to send these clowns out there talking about space beams, because they're so nervous of how many people are waking up. Look at the traffic numbers. Democracy Now! Gets far less, and that's Amy Goodman's organization, gets far less hits than Prison Planet or InfoWars or WhatReallyHappened.com or Rents or any of those websites. They crush her on the traffic numbers. So we are breaking through the left gatekeeper Maginot line. We're having a ton of successes, and we need to start recognizing that. It's not all evil. It's not all bad. We are having victories, and the key to that is going to be for more people to start stepping up, to get off of the message boards, and to ignore these distractionists who are trying to destroy our movement with a bunch of space beam nonsense. I should say, though, they're about to be online with a Skype cast right now, but I don't even want to promote that stuff. A couple more articles here. King Abdullah warns of civil war. This is from GulfNews.com. Jordan's King Abdullah on U.S. TV warned on Sunday that the world is on the verge of three civil wars unless drastic action is taken by the international community. Quote, "We are juggling with the strong potential for three civil wars in the region, whether it's the Palestinians, that of Lebanon, or that of Iraq." Well, somebody should have told the Mossad not to assassinate Lebanese leaders. It says, quote, "We could possibly imagine going into 2007 having three civil wars on our hand, and therefore it is time that we really take a strong step forward as part of the international community and make sure we avert the Middle East from a tremendous crisis that I fear and I see could possibly happen in 2007. What a year 2007 may be. On the verge of a housing bubble collapse, hedge fund collapse, derivatives collapse, mortgage market collapse, collateralized loan obligation collapse, and of course producing a dollar collapse. Stock market is only being propped up by the plunge protection team. Soros and Gates and Buffett all predicting a recession. And of course, civil war breaking out to the point where hundreds are being murdered every day in Iraq, where our troops are surrounded in Baghdad with the supply lines in danger, and the psychopaths surrounding Cheney are saying, well, maybe we'll go ahead and invade Iran, as the Israelis and the CIA train rebel fighters. This is going to be the time now when we really need to begin fighting. We can't become too focused on the negativity. And if I may say, let's try to be a little bit positive in our lives. There are so many people who know about this and are failing to contribute this to, when they talk to their friends and family. Do not keep this a secret to yourself. Knowledge still remains power. We still have a chance of turning back a lot of what they've done with H.R. 6166 and the Patriot Act. And if you don't have any hope, then you should just give up right now. There are to protect yourself. You know, gold was up $12 today. But the key is going to be have the courage, have the energy to get out there. That means pamphleting. That means starting your own website. That means warning your friends and family and becoming a future leader. It's worth the risk because all of our freedom is at stake. Folks, it's from my energy level. And I will be back tomorrow, hopefully a bit more spunky. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful night and get out there and fight, won't you please?